Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Brenda Barker, the TIPQC Executive Director, and we're excited to have Jen Bray join us today. Jen is a Tennessee mom whose son, Brooks, was born very prematurely. After experiencing the challenges of a long NICU journey, Jen became passionate about supporting other NICU families and raising awareness to necrotizing enterocolitis, also known as NEC. She now shares her family's experience to encourage parents, bring awareness to prematurity and NICU care, and promote compassionate support during difficult seasons. Most recently, she worked with the Tennessee State Senator to help pass Tennessee's first NEC Awareness Day, furthering her advocacy for premature infants and NICU families across the state. We're so honored for you to join us today, Jen, and thank you for your willingness. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. Honor to be here.
Absolutely. Well, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so from the Metro Atlanta area, and my husband and I worked out on the West Coast for a little bit and found ourselves just missing the South and missing the slow pace of life. And so after we had our daughter, Charlotte, she's 3, we decided to come back to the South and landed in Tennessee in the Chattanooga area and just love Tennessee, love Eastern Tennessee, and excited to grow roots here and grow our family here. We, like I said, have our daughter, Charlotte. She's 3. And then we have a son who we had for 27 days, and his name was Brooks.
Thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey, what brought you to Chattanooga. But tell us now really about your baby, Brooks. He was born very prematurely. How was your pregnancy? Was it a surprise that he came so early?
Yeah. So my story with pregnancy kind of starts with my daughter. I had an amazing experience with her. I got to have an unmedicated birth and I'm in a birth center, and I just became super passionate about birth, and I knew I wanted to be a mom to kids with an S. I wanted multiple kids. And so her birth was a great experience. And so pretty quickly after, when she was 8 months old, to our surprise, we found out we were pregnant again and really over the moon and excited. This pregnancy was so different because I was super sick with my daughter and I had a lot of energy with this pregnancy. I didn't feel very sick and really just excited to have another baby. And so I was working with a midwife in Tennessee, and we had our anatomy scan about 21 weeks-ish, one of the days in that week, and got the all clear that it was looking like a low-risk pregnancy. Everything was looking really good. Brooks was looking healthy and ahead of schedule a little bit. And so we were just felt so fortunate and blessed to have another healthy baby. And you're going to hear me say so many times, I just didn't know, but you don't know until you know that not every pregnancy ends the way that you hope. And so that was 2 days later after that anatomy scan. I woke up and got out of bed and felt my water break. And that was at 21 weeks and 5 days, I believe. And it was just such a shock. We packed our bags and went to the hospital and found ourselves being transferred to a different hospital. And as soon as we got to the hospital, they confirmed that it was my water that broke, and our lives just changed in a blink. My in-laws became parents to a baby, and my parents became parents to a dog, and my husband was running his business out of our hospital room, and we became patients at a hospital for the next 2 weeks of our lives. This was the first time I had ever even been not in a hospital, but a patient in a hospital. So this was just such a shock to my system. The doctor, when she confirmed everything, said, "You're going to be here for hopefully the next 13 weeks until I was 34 weeks and then could deliver him, or until I gave birth." And so going from never being a patient in a hospital to that was so crazy and shocking. And so we had a new home and a hospital, and Brooks held on for me for almost 2.5 weeks and was born at 23 weeks and 5 days by emergency C-section. After he was born, I woke up from the C-section and my husband was showing me him on the phone and saying, he's alive, he's in the NICU and he's doing okay. And I just remember thinking how unnatural it felt that he was 23 weeks and I didn't know what he was going to look like. I didn't know. And, you know, we go through the recovery process of C-section, which is just so very difficult. So when I was in labor with him, my labor was really fast and he was breech and he had slid down into my pelvis and it went into like full, I just describe it to everyone like a movie, like they're rolling me back. I went under general anesthesia, you know, so it's all kind of a blur, but yeah, they had to get him out as soon as possible. And it's within minutes you're being rolled into that operating room.
Yeah, that seems scary. And then you had drugs and you said your husband was showing you pictures and he was in the NICU. Tell us what happened from there.
Yeah, they say the NICU is a roller coaster and it does feel like that in many ways, but we felt so fortunate. Brooks had a relatively easy NICU stay. You know, he had a couple of things that, you know, were pretty typical of preemies to deal with, but with his breathing and, you know, he had a small PDA, but that cleared up and his NICU stay was, you know, I don't want to say easy because the NICU is not easy, but his NICU stay was pretty stable for us. We were so grateful for the doctors and the nurses, and they were just really encouraging the whole time. And we were just grateful that Brooks was really fighting. We were super fortunate to receive a room at the Ronald McDonald House. And so that helped us so much. It's an incredible organization that really, really takes care of families. And they gave us a place to stay. So we were right across the street from the hospital and we could be there in seconds, but also get the rest that we needed to.
Tell us more about how you found out he had NEC and what was the complicating factors in that.
Okay. So on December 22nd, during the day, I had gotten a call from his doctor giving me his daily update, and she had said, you know, this looks like it's Brooks's best day yet. He is looking really good. We're really proud of the progress he's making and we're excited for, you know, it was just a really encouraging message from his doctor. And so my husband and I were just so proud. We were like, our baby he's crushing this. Like, he was born so early and he's doing so good and he's growing. And it was right before Christmas. And so we had run out on one of our NICU breaks and did a little Christmas shopping. And for Brooks and for our daughter, we decorated our Ronald McDonald room and then decorated his incubator, decorated his NICU area for Christmas. And then that night, we would always Joanne and sing to Brooks and pray for him and get the final update for the evening from his doctors, and then leave him for the night so that he can get some rest. And his nurse came in as we were getting ready to leave, and she said, he spit up and we're watching it. And I just said, okay, it was his best day. Baby spit up and I'm not worried. And we went back to the Ronald McDonald House, turned on a Christmas movie to get some rest. And I looked down at my phone probably 2 hours later, and it was a call from his NICU doctor. And I knew that a call this late in the evening, at night, was not a good sign. And I just remember looking at my husband and going, uh-oh, this is not good. We answered, and the doctor said, hey, I'm not liking the way Brooks is looking. His stomach is distended and it has a weird color to it. We've asked the surgical team to come and see if they can do a bedside procedure. And nowhere in this time am I thinking neck, because I had no idea what neck was. I didn't know. And so I said, should we come over to the hospital right now? And she said, yeah, I think you should. And so, of course, we rushed over. And as we walked into his room, he was having active, like, resuscitations. And he passed away within minutes of us getting to the hospital early in the morning on December 23rd. It was just such a shock to the system. It was one of his best days. And then now it was his last day. And yeah, we just didn't know. And his doctor came in and looked at him and said, yeah, I think this is neck. And so from that moment on, I knew, like, I needed to learn everything about what this was. And so that's what I did. That was the first instinct I knew what to do, was to immediately go and start researching what was neck. What did it do to my baby?
We are for you and your family and Brooks.
So.
And part of the work that we are doing in TIPQC is also, as you said, to try to eradicate neck and to work with our Tennessee hospitals to improve so that we don't see those outcomes again and again. We're so incredibly sorry, and just our hearts go out to you. So thank you for your willingness to share and jump in and advocate for families and those that don't even know about this complication that can happen to very premature babies. Well, what words of wisdom might you share for other providers taking care of these tiny little ones? Sounds like you had a great provider there that really brought you back in right as you needed to be, kept you updated. What was helpful? What do you think is great that providers can do?
We had great care teams, and you know, nurses and doctors really do have a calling, and it shows when they care so much for your child when you can't be there. And I just think the importance of inviting the parents in to be a part of the care team. I know that meant so much to me when nurses would say, hey, come in here and change your baby's diaper, you know, and come learn how to do this, and let me teach you about this. And, you know, the nurses who really advocated for my son, and those are things I'll never forget, because I do think those made a difference in his life and, you know, allowed him to almost live a whole month. And the small acts of kindness matter so much. Since he passed right before Christmas, I remember it was actually his last day. And I had a little note on when I came in with a little baby diaper cover that was like a Santa Claus. And one of the nurses wrote, like, I had to go search the NICU for this, but I think this one's going to fit him. I hope you guys have the best Christmas. And just those small acts of kindness to take away from the intimidation of the NICU just brought the nerves down, because it's nerve-wracking every time you walk through those doors.
Yeah, sounds like it helped you feel like a parent as well, being engaged in his care. And what was that like? Feeling like you were his parent. When did that happen? Or was it automatic?
I mean, it was very different because, you know, when he was born, you don't get those moments where he gets to be laid on your chest and the skin to skin. And I remember just feeling in the beginning, just so emotional because I hadn't held my son. And I think it was almost a whole week that I didn't get to hold him. And that, you know, it was when one of his nurses, who's just become a lifelong friend, really advocated for us and said, like, she needs to hold her baby. We got to get this going so she can hold her baby. And I think getting to hold him the first time was when you really feel like a parent. You know, I remember changing his diapers and just feeling the sweat come down my forehead because I was just so nervous because he was so small. But the nurses that would reassure you and say, you've got this. This is your baby. You've got this. Yeah, those moments really helped.
What would you have as words of wisdom to other families who might have a little one in the NICU?
You know, I use the word intimidation because it is like a lot of times this is the first time that parents are around this much medical equipment and in such a serious environment. And I know this is going to sound so weird, but like I say, embrace the intimidation as quickly as you possibly can. Embrace the NICU life as quickly and possibly as you can, because we're still a parent. It's just a non-traditional way of parenthood starting. And so I wish that I had embraced it quicker instead of living at the height of my stress levels. I know it's stressful, but like embracing that and finding moments of enjoyment. You know, now I can look back on my experience, and although my experience ended in grief, like look back on my experience and find those moments of joy and the joys of changing his diaper and feeding him with the Q-tip for the first time and holding him for the first time and getting those voicemails of the doctors, like proud of his progress. Like those are the moments of joy I get to look back on. And so making those moments of joy are so important. Advocating for your child is so important. I wish I'd advocated sooner. And so learning your child's cues, like I said, you are part of their care team. And so it is get in there and learn about the machines, learn about what's happening, learn about the medicine they're giving them, learn about the feeds, learn all you can so that you can best advocate for your baby, because nobody's going to advocate for him better than you.
Absolutely. Wise words of wisdom. Thank you for that, Jen. Just switching gears just a minute. I'm very impressed with your advocacy work. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you helped us get the first Neck Awareness Day in Tennessee.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited about it and just honored to be part of it. They turn your pain into passion, and that's exactly what I wanted to do. I never wanted another family to feel as confused as we did when we heard how he died and we didn't know what it was. And so I just knew from that moment, I wanted people to know what NECC was. I'd never heard of it until after it had taken my son. And so I did a lot of there's so many great organizations out there that help families. And so one of them was the NECC Society, and they're a great organization to, if you don't know anything about NECC, I would check the show notes so that for the link to their website so you can learn more about NECC. They have so many great resources. One of them was encouraging parents to work with their local state senators to have an awareness day passed so that more parents can know about NECC. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. And politicians, they're very busy. It's very hard to, I didn't realize how hard it was to make it happen. And I worked with my local senator here in Chattanooga, and it passed. I got to experience watching how an awareness day is passed. And it's just very interesting process. And yeah, it passed at the end of April. And I knew that I wanted to do something to continue and celebrate this day being passed. And so I reached out to four of the head of neonatology, the heads of neonatology at four of the major hospitals in the state. And I didn't know if I'd get a response back, but to my surprise, I did. And they all were so encouraging and so honored to be part of it. And a couple of them even were like, who else can I get you in contact with? So I was super excited. And what started out as four hospitals ended up turning into 10 hospitals. And the head of neonatology in Memphis, he was getting me in contact with the regional hospitals, and in Knoxville, they were getting me in contact with different hospitals. And it just turned into a whole statewide initiative. I sent over 1,200 ribbons, blue and yellow ribbons, out to these NICUs. And over the last week, I've gotten dozens of pictures back from these hospitals of their staff wearing the neck awareness ribbon. And it's just been, it's brought so much joy to know that my son's life had an impact on a state. And I'm just so honored to be his mom and honored to advocate for what took his life.
We can't thank you enough. What a wonderful way to spread awareness of NEC and reach out to all of them. And that's how I heard about you, is one of our hospitals let me know about the work you were doing. And so we are just so honored to have you today. Appreciate all the work that you're doing in raising awareness to NEC. And as you said before we got started, even another way you can continue to parent and love on your little Brooks. And so thank you for talking with me today. Is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up?
Oh, I'm just grateful for all the providers out there that want to see a world without NEC and continue to research, advocate, and learn about this horrible sickness. And you know, I just encourage families to learn as much as they can about it and, you know, advocate for their child and enjoy the time that you do have with them.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.